the stories of the Quran through the commentary book, and now these stories, they came alive. Because don't forget, Muhammad, when he took the stories of the Bible, took it, and yes, he messed it up big time, but still, we can tell Adam and Eve in the garden. We can still tell when David was slain Goliath. And we can tell when Moses was crossing the Red Sea with people. So, when I saw that, it came to life. And I said, wow, this is wonderful. That's what I'm reading. Okay, let me carry on here. Now, we watch all the stories of the Bible. The Old Testament. And they started with the New Testament. And then, heaven's going up and heaven's coming down. Angels going up and angels coming down. And heaven was moving, earth was shaking. And I said, who is that? Maybe that is God. That is the Lord. I don't really know anything about the Quran. His name is Jesus. I don't know. I don't have Jesus in my Quran. I have Isa. They changed the name and they said this is the Arabic translation to Jesus. Anyway, I said to myself, why is he so important? And I followed him closely. He grew up and I grew up with him. And I cannot forget this. 1982. It was a very harsh year in Beirut, Lebanon. By the way, thank God. We are enjoying the United States. And how we meet to pray for our government, and the president, and the cabinet, and who God would like to have in the cabinet there, we need to pray for those things. But according to 1 Timothy 2:1, we need to pray for these things. In Lebanon, we didn't enjoy the peace. It was turmoil, it was hardship, it was war on a daily basis. I even carried the bodies of my own friends. A lot of friends died before my mom's hand. I asked myself this question. Why my life was spared? Now I know. He loved me. He brought me to safety. So what happened after that? In 1982, Israel was invading Beirut, the capital, and right there, around the Eastern time, we thank God for the Lebanon that it was a secular country. It wasn't considered a Muslim country. Now, it's gone that way. 65% of them are became Shia, Hezbollah, and they can take over Lebanon overnight. But on the public TV, we saw Jesus now. We saw the movie of the Lord Jesus. You may say, Brother Ishmael, hold it right then. I want to ask you a question. Are you a Muslim or a Christian? You watch the Jesus movie, the cartoons, Super Bowl, Flying House. Right? You're not thinking with me, are you? Right? The brethren, God is in control of all things. Where's my dad? Where was my dad at the time? Thank you, Saudi Arabia. Where was my mom? I'm sorry? Yes, but where was she? What was she doing at the house?
Cooking!
Washing dishes! Doing the laundry! And who was the oldest? I was the oldest. And the older, any older ones here? Yes? Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. Yes, okay? Yes, okay? Yes. And as the oldest, the firstborn, I was in control. So my brothers and sisters, they had to watch what I was watching. Nowadays, sorry to say, each one has his own computer, his own iPhone, iPad, Strawberry, Blackberry. That's a bad note. But, and we watched the movie. But the Lord Jesus was on the cross. I was in tears. My sister, who was 2 years younger than myself, I was 12 at the time. Any 12 years old? Yes. I was 12 years old when I saw the movie. Lord Jesus was on the cross. My sister was 10, and we were both in tears. And I told her these words that I'll never forget. Her name was Ghada, G-H-A-D-A. She's an Australian now, and she came to know the Lord as well. I told her, Ghada, he didn't do anything wrong. Why are they killing him? Why are they killing him? Mom came from the kitchen running, and she said, who died? Because we were sobbing. believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe he's the Son of God. They don't believe he became a man. And they don't believe that he ever died on the cross. They believe that Judas died beside him. See how deceitful is the devil and how he maneuvered the word of God and how he twisted things. Father, I pray that you would again appreciate. So, when we told her that, she sat down, she turned on the TV, she said, these are the infidels. These are the ones who made God out of Jesus. These are the ones who crucified Jesus. These are the ones. She started explaining to me again the Islamic faith concerning Jesus. And who knows? Better mom and dad, right? Dad came from Saudi Arabia and he shared the same thing with us. And I dropped it. I became a teenager. Any teenagers here? I thank God for that period of my life. It was very stressful. I thank God that you are going in that period of your life with mom and dad, that they love the Lord Jesus, and they will guide you as you are going through this precious period of your life. At that time, unfortunately, I didn't have a godly mom and dad, a Christian godly mom and dad, that they would guide me through this. And I became a teenager and I was introduced to sin. And I found that sin was delightful. And I was drowned in it. But at the same time, I was doing my Islamic prayers. We had to face our face toward Mecca and ask God. And you may say, Ishmael, how many times do you pray? 5 times a day. And how many years did you pray? 7 to 21 when I came to know the Lord Jesus. 14 years. Do the math. 14 years. 365 days. A year, 5 times a day, do thousands of prayers. And the question that I would ask myself, have you ever met God? What you were praying for these thousands of prayers? Was God real in your life? I'm afraid for a lot of Christians, even teenagers, even young kids, they pray because mom and dad told them to. They pray because we pray at the Sunday school. We pray because of the young people's meeting, but you don't know the Lord Jesus. I didn't. So, I was living in sin, and then praying, and then here's the thought that came to me while I was doing my prayers. I thank God for the conscience. God's voice screaming in everyone's heart. The conscience of me was so alive that I was 14 years old. When I was 14 years old, beloved, I would do my prayers and I would ask God to forgive me. And then all of a sudden, here's the question that comes. Ishmael, where are you walking? Here you are, you're doing your prayers, asking God to forgive you. And then you're going to go and commit such and such sin. Such and such wrong. God's voice was so loud in my heart. One day I was at the mosque doing the prayers and I was so sad. And then a sheikh, an Islamic leader, came to me and he said, Ishmael, what's wrong? You're always up going. And what's going on? You look sad. He shared my dilemma. And he said, you know what? Repent from all your heart. He said, stop doing this and don't hang out with these wrong crowd. He said, I stopped doing that as well, but still listen here. It's not from out there. And then he said, I'm reading some verses from the Quran. Listen to what he said. This is what 1.7 billion people believe in this. He said, one day will come and you will grow up to be a man and then you will travel to Saudi Arabia, to Mecca, and you will do the pilgrim rituals there. And after that, when you do that, then your sins, listen to this, will be forgiven. Beloved, this is what they believe. This is what I believe. I'm afraid that there are 2.2 billion now Christians that they believe that if they were to take from the wine and of the bread, their sins would be forgiven. They believe if they get baptized, they will be forgiven. They believe if they go to the Holy Land, they call it the Holy Land, and do some things, their sins will be forgiven. You see how the devil is working on all of the levels, the all of the people. But beloved, I am here to declare that the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, only can wipe away your sins. Only can wash away your sins. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus. If you were to trust him as your own personal Lord and Savior. When he shared that with me, I was sad that I left that mosque I grow up and I don't have enough platform? It's possible. What if I go there and I don't do it right? Who can guarantee? It's like, and I decided a horrible decision. I'm afraid that we have some young people who maybe decided such a horrible decision. And I pray that God's love will not cheer you today. I decided, you're up there, I'm down here. I'm gonna do any prayers more for you. But I cannot do it outwardly just because I saved my dad. I don't want to be a problem. You think God would let go of such a miserable person? You think God would let go of someone that is conscious, so alive in him? 1987, I joined.